The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. John. The next day, when the people who remained after the feeding of the 5,000 saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they themselves got into a boat and went to Capernaum looking for Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly, I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For it is on him that God the Father has set his seal." Then they said to him, "What must we do to perform the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." So they said to him, "What sign are you going to give us then, so that we may see it and believe you? What are you going to perform? Our ancestors ate manna in the wilderness, as it is written, 'He gave them bread from heaven to eat.'" Then Jesus said to them, "Very truly, I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." The word of the Lord. Let us pray. Open our hearts to your word by the power of your Spirit. Grant us grace. Startle us and awaken us to the way that is the way of love, the way of mercy, the way that leads us to you, O bread of life. Amen. Please be seated. So we're in the Gospel of John, and as I mentioned last week, we're going to be in the Gospel of John up until the first week in September when we come back to Mark. And so part of the lectionary passages we're working through in the next couple of weeks have to do with the claim that Jesus keeps making, that he is the bread of life. These are the bread of life passages. And the particular passage we read from the gospel today takes place in the desert, in the wilderness. And last week we were in the same wilderness. Recall the boy with barley loaves and the two fish, and the miraculous that takes place in a space like the wilderness. Sometimes it's difficult to imagine that the wilderness is a place where things happen in a way that not only reveal God's goodness, but also open up a window into our hearts, who we are, when we go and abide in those wilderness spaces. If you recall our first reading, the wilderness, the word, is mentioned four times. And then, of course, our psalm brings us back to the wilderness to let us know a little bit more in the context of worship of what this wilderness experience was like, or how, in fact, when we think about it theologically or reflect from a perspective that centers on God, how, in fact, the wilderness as a space functioned or what it was for God's people. He commanded the clouds. He rained down. So mortals ate the bread of angels. Amazing things happen in the wilderness. God's people found themselves both in the reading from Exodus and also in our reading from the gospel, in that space called the wilderness. And I think sometimes that's where sometimes we abide or live in the middle of. Wilderness is not a fun place. Sometimes it's a difficult place. I don't know if you've ever spent a season or two in that wilderness of life. Sometimes it's hard to discover the presence of God, the care of God, the revealing of God's goodness in the midst of wilderness. In John's gospel, we are invited to think about not only the God who provides, but also those instances in the wilderness, again, that open up a window to our hearts. The psalmist seems to capture this at the very end in verse 29. So they ate and were filled, for he gave them what they craved. Did you catch that? He gave them what they craved. And so in John's gospel, in the midst of the wilderness, you have the crowd that has been fed by Jesus, the 5,000 looking for Jesus. What's missing from our passage of the gospel is sort of the preamble to this particular passage or pericope, is that Jesus left, the disciples left, and then Jesus met them. So people hung around there thinking, well, you know, Jesus is probably going to put out a meal again tomorrow, and so let's just hang out here in this wilderness. Let's just sort of hunker down here. And our gospel lesson reminds us, the next day, when the people who remained after the feeding of the 5,000 saw that neither Jesus or his disciples were there, they themselves got into a boat and went looking for Jesus. And when they find Jesus, they ask him, Rabbi, when did you come here? How did you get here? There was a storm. There were boats from Tiberias hanging out in the port. No one is doing business. How did you get here? And it's interesting because Jesus, who typically elicits conversation, right? Jesus is always asking questions. Jesus is trying to pull us out, to draw us out, gets to the heart of the matter. Very truly, I tell you, you are looking for me. And not because you saw signs in the wilderness, but because you ate your fill of loaves. Do not work for food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life. It's a sort of, I don't know if it's a confrontation, but it's certainly getting to the truth of the matter. You're here looking for me for something. You're here looking for something. James Smith, in one of his books entitled, You Are What You Love, The Spiritual Power Habit, writes the following. What we worship fundamentally shapes our hearts. What we worship fundamentally shapes our hearts. And there's the sense in which our gospel lesson, and in fact, the entirety of our lessons today, again, invite us to take stock of our hearts, of why it is that we pursue, of what it is that we crave. This James Smith, his is certainly an echo of St. Augustine's, that one phrase, that our hearts are truly restless until they find their rest in God, that we are restless creatures, that we crave, we long for, and we become what we love. And in this case, we see their sense of craving throughout the entire passages of Scripture that we've read, and this God that nevertheless continues to meet need, but meets the need in order to draw us closer to the truth of what is going on inside of us, and the truth of a God whose grace nevertheless invites us to come close. Invites us to come close. God gave them what they crave. Craving is an interesting word in the Scriptures. 1 John captures the idea, for the world offers only a craving for physical pleasure, a craving for everything we see, and pride in our achievements and possessions. These are not from the Father, writes John in 1 John, but are from this world, and this world is fading away along with everything that people crave. There's a sense in which, you know, what do you give your heart over to? Jesus gets to the heart of the matter and lets the crowd know, you're here because you want bread. But I want to let you know, Jesus says, that you have a deeper craving, a deeper hunger. It's close. It's within you. And I am the only one who can slake your hunger. I'm the one who can go into the deepest part of your cravings and slake what you seek, what you look for in these things. Now, I'm not one who draws that stark connection between the world. Certainly Jesus does in a way, but we need to understand that the world that Jesus alludes to in the sense of the world is not only, it's not, you could say, the way some folks really draw the distinction, the binary between the spiritual and the material. No, we're talking about what rules your heart, the spirit, or you could say the very things that sort of move you and own you. And Jesus is trying to draw us closer back to the heart of God. And so he invites us to think, what is it that we truly look for in love and love? Is our way to God one of episodic moments? The feeding of the five, okay, this happened this day, let's go find it another day, let's go here and there. Or is it a response to a call to a lifelong journey rooted in love of transformation in Christ? Jesus says, you're hungering for something more than bread. And the bread that you hunger for is right in front of you. And it's interesting because the crowd says, well, you know, back in the wilderness, and this is the fifth time the word wilderness is used in our chain of scriptures. Back in the wilderness, we ate manna from heaven. And Jesus says, absolutely you did. And that was the gift of God. But I'm here. And I am the gift of God. I am the bread of life. I am also the water that can slake your thirst. I am the one that can bring the peace and the joy that you seek and the settled sense of contentment. You know, the fact is that we do live in, as many have pointed out, and Jamie Smith points out, in a consumer culture that seeks to shape and form the way that we love. You know, I have a son who's getting ready for college. Went out and we bought him a laptop. And now the need arises for an iPad. You don't expect me to carry a binder full of paper where I write my notes, right, Dad? And by the way, and I need the Apple Pen in order to take the notes. And apparently there's this group that's saying, and this is what you're going to need, this is what you're going to need. And it's this, and I get it. I want to outfit him for college. But there was a point where I thought, really, are you kidding me? What is next? Is this that, again, we live in a culture that drives love, that seeks to instill within us a sense of finding a particular item, idea, that imparts a sense of identity, that imparts a sense of who we are, that somehow mediates for us a level of what Pierre Bourdieu calls social capital, the capital that allows us to move in society, that allows us to transact in a way that makes us feel relevant. The gospel is calling us to dislodge ourselves, not from life. Again, remember, we're distinct people, but we're not distant. We've never been called to be distant from the world and from the urgencies and cares around us, but to be connected in a way that reflects and demonstrates the goodness of God. And if we look to slake our hunger with things, with money, with whatever possessions we can gather, if we look to slake our hunger, we will find that we will never be satisfied until we come to the bread of life. The one who says to us today, through the wilderness, I will be with you. those difficult seasons in life, I will walk with you. I know your deepest need. I know what you most long for. And that longing and that loving and that presence, Jesus calls that the work of God. It's an invitation to step closer to Jesus and recognize that wilderness or celebration, seasons of celebration, the bread of life has come to give us strength for the journey ahead. We are, Jamie Smith writes, what we love. Jesus seeks to remind us again that there is a deeper hunger within us for love, a deeper hunger that only the deep longing we have can be met by the deep love and grace of God's mercy. That this is not, again, an episodic approach or not episodic endeavor, but it's actually a lifestyle, a stepping into a way of being. And that this lifestyle is sourced by a connection, not commodities. A connection with Christ and with one another. A connection to the needs of our world. A connection with a neighbor. A connection and an openness to the way that God leads us out into the world as people filled with grace. Bread and water. A lifestyle that St. Paul reminds us entails leading a life worthy of the calling which we've been called. That the work of God is, in fact, one of humility and gentleness, of patience, of bearing with one another in love, of making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. You want to know the work of God? It's the work of God. And it's the work of God in our lives. So when we come to Jesus, we come to the bread of life. We come to the one who can slake our hunger and our thirst. And it's this very Jesus that sends us back out into the world to be bread, to be water in a thirsting land, to be truth, speaking the truth in love, as Paul reminds us. And I can't think of a more important season in our national life to be that. To recognize that the bread of life is the Lord of our hearts, the Lord of the church, the Lord who walks with us in all seasons, wilderness, canopy of joy, in every space, the bread of life. Lead us, O loving Lord, to your table, where we can dine on what we long for. And you are the one who knows our cravings and our needs, and you are the one who sets before us an abundance beyond our imaginings, an abundance not just for us, but also for the sake of the neighbor. And so grant us, O loving God, the insight and wisdom to come to you, for you have the words of life. You are the bread that's come down from heaven. Feed our souls so that we may be a sign and demonstration of the abundance of your grace and the welcome that is your love. Amen.